Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I'll go there very quickly and then I'll go back to Romans 12. Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. It says, it's a very popular scripture, but I want to quickly explain something and then get back into what I have to teach for tonight. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Over time, this scripture has been misinterpreted to mean that it is how often you hear the word of God that brings faith. But no, that is not correct. That may be part of the process, but it's not the entire process. You can hear a message 100 times. It doesn't mean that faith is going to come at the 99th time or at the 96th time. No. The process of hearing and hearing helps you because you hear something that you didn't hear before, even though you went to service. However, how faith comes is when Christ speaks to you from the message you're hearing. Your own word, your own specific word that speaks to your heart. So, the original Greek of this will read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by rhema, Christos. The word translated God there is actually the word Christ, Christos. And the word translated word is the Greek word rhema, rhema. Rhema is the spoken word. Logos is the written word, all right? Rhema is the spoken word. So when we say rhema, Christos, we are saying the anointed utterance of Christ. Of course, every utterance of Christ is anointed. So it is not just the written word now, but the spoken word. You remember in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, as Christ faced the temptation of Satan and he was rebuking him and overcoming every temptation, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of where? Out of where? The mouth, spoken. So you need the spoken word. Don't just give yourself to the study of the written word. Don't just say, I want to cover the Bible, 2024. I want to cover the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, 3 times. That's a noble cause, okay? That's a nice thing to do. But I am saying that beyond just trying to cover up everything, read up everything with speed, what will really bless you is to let the word speak back to you. Let the word speak. The spoken utterance of Christ. The moment that word comes, the faith you need is loaded in that word. The moment it comes, it energizes you to go ahead and do it. And the moment you do whatever the Lord says to do, then you will have results. Let's always watch out for the spoken word. In a message like this, like I'm teaching or I'm preaching, a moment will come, a word will come, and it will be for you. And I've had people say to me, it was as though you just knew what I was going through. The moment you made that statement, I knew that was my word. Yeah, God knows what you're going through. Amen. Does the Holy Spirit know what you're going through? And so he, through his anointed servant, will send a word to you to meet you at the very point of your need. You see, when your own word comes, then you can run with that word. Don't go and sleep. Take that word, and then you take it to the place of prayer, and then you do warfare with it, and then you will see results. That's how it happens. So every time you come to church, talk to God, Lord, I want my own word. Give me my word. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. Utterance of God. Let's not not just go after Logos, let us go after Rhema. The Rhema is your now word. It is your word that will set you free. It is the word that brings your healing because it's loaded with the faith of God. The moment you receive it, boom, you run with it. And that's it. And that's it. I remember some years ago, I was on Isaiah 60 and verse 20. You can put that on the screen. I was on Isaiah chapter 60, and so I got to verse 20. And it says, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. I was feasting on that verse. I was on the entire chapter, but when I got to that verse, it was like a special anointing rested on that verse for me. And so I stayed there, and I meditated on it. My sun shall no more go down. Come on. Neither shall my moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be my everlasting light. Now, if the Lord is your light, will your light ever go dim? Come on, talk to me, church. Is it possible for God to have a better yesterday? Everlasting light. To say God is your light alone is enough. Meaning there will be no darkness again in your life when God is your light. Because there is no day that God will go down. Now, he now emphatically said, the Lord is your everlasting. Now, when you say something is everlasting, it means it will last forever. Everlasting. Lasting ever. Aha. So, there is no provision for a day to come in my future when I will walk in darkness. Because the Lord is my everlasting light. And the days of my mourning, the days of my complaining, the days of my weeping shall be ended. I put it in the present context. And I say, the days of my complaining are over. And as I stayed on that word and meditated on it, it came out of my spirit, no more down days. I mean, I didn't hear that from any preacher. It came out of my spirit as I meditated on it. That's called Rhema, no more down days. And I quickly put that as part of our confession back then in the expression house. And we shouted, no more down days. The glory days are here, amen. No more down days, no more down days. And the more you confess it, the more you believe it, the more you walk in the reality of it, even though some days you wake up, Satan will want to bring down days to you. He will want to give you reasons why you should be down. You shout at his face and tell him, no more down days. When you are dealing with the devil, you can't be gentlemanly. Are you with me, church? He will convince you now, you know, that job, eventually they didn't give you. You lost the money. You have bills to pay. We're not sure that you are going to have another money in the next 3 weeks. And how are you going to survive? Now you can see that you're down. Oh, you're really down. If you allow him speak last to you, you will meditate on those thoughts he's giving you. Now, listen, Satan is an expert in selling thoughts. That's where his power lies. He sells thoughts. He advertises thoughts. Hello, look at me. Hello, this anxiety. Hello, worry. Hello, depression. He's advertising those thoughts to you. Now, but it's your choice whether you buy them or not. It's your choice whether you take them or not. It's when we take thoughts that they become ours. It's my responsibility to tell him, hey, Mr. Defeated Devil, I am not down. No, I am not down. I don't look down. I don't feel down. I'm not down. I will not be down. In fact, I'm up. Take your dirty thoughts and get out of my room in the name of Jesus. I'm up. I'm not down. And I don't have money in my account. Is that why I'm down? You know why people are down? People are down for many reasons. Some people, when they don't have money, they even say it. They say they don't have joy. And you see, it's a popular expression in our days. That school doesn't have joy. That man doesn't have joy. I've heard Christians say, they don't, not I, they don't have joy. Oh, what a statement coming from the mouth of an ignoramus, a spiritual ignoramus. Every child of God has joy. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, can you put that on the screen, is love, and then joy, and then peace, and then long-suffering, and then gentleness, and then goodness, and then faith, and then meekness, and then temperance. Against such, there is no law. You always have them. They are in your spirit, man. I have joy every time, 24-7. Does that mean I'm always happy? No. Does that mean I'm always excited? No. But hey, Mr. Devil, if you come around and tell me that I'm down, I'll let you know I'm not down. I'm up! When he sells those thoughts to you and you buy them, you own them. Then you begin to say, well, down, feel down, really down. And then you get on WhatsApp and put it there, down and out. And then your friends come to your DM, hey, what's up, babes, how you doing? I'm not feeling good. You don't live by feeling. We walk by faith, not by sight. Including when we have 0 naira in our account. Our account is not what determines our spirituality. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? If you allow the devil deceive you by what you see, by what you have and what you don't have, you are not going to be a Christian for a long time. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there will be days when things don't go the way that you really want them. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So you need to get your thoughts right. Satan defeats people, defeats Christians in the area of their thoughts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at it from verse 6. It says, be sober. Now, okay, let's take it from verse 7. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that's your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He doesn't have a permanent address. He's always walking about. And that's why I don't like people walking about in the service. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. All right? Now, whom resist? Now, you have a responsibility to resist him. Steadfast in the faith. How do you resist Satan? By you being steadfast in the faith. You can't afford to be up today, down tomorrow. You be steadfast in the faith. Now, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There is nothing you are going through that nobody has ever gone through. What you are going through right now, other people are going through it. Other people will yet go through it. And you are not staying there, you are only going through. Amen. You're coming out of it to share your testimony. Can I have an amen? And then to be a blessing to other people and let them know that God is faithful. Amen. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, I love this, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Has he called us to eternal shame? Has he called us to eternal problems? Has he called us to eternal depression? What has he called us to? Eternal glory. We might not be there right now, I tell you, but we're going to be there. Can I have an amen? Amen? Because that is what he has called us to. And he cannot lie. If your today doesn't reflect your tomorrow, don't worry about that. Let them mock you. They will see you emerge. Who has called us to glory, to his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus? Listen to this. After, not before, not during, after that you have suffered a while. We don't like that suffering. We don't want to suffer anything. We don't want to suffer lack. We don't have to endure correction in church. We don't have to suffer being suspended from your ministry because you misbehaved. You don't want to have to deal with some hunger for a while. Everything right now. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen. Those ones don't really get the job done. What gets the job done is the last word. Settle you. Everybody likes to be settled, right? God, when are you going to settle me? When Igbo people go for apprenticeship, they can be under a master for 10 years. They can bring an Igbo young man from the village who has just finished his secondary education or primary and bring him to Ibadan to learn how to sell motor parts. And then he's under a boss and he's living with the boss. And he can be there for 10 years. He's living with the boss. He helps him to wash his clothes. He joins his children in washing the cars. And then they go to shop in the morning. He's learning all the rudiments of the trade. He's learning all the rudiments of the trade. He's learning all the rudiments. They send him to go and buy food in the afternoon. He has to go. They send him to Ladipo Market in Lagos to go and get some parts that they don't have in Ifeleye in Ibadan. He has to go. He follows his other people. One boss might have 10 boys from the village living with him. Now, that's a lot of money to feed them because these people from the village eat a lot. They don't eat like you people in the city. You people in the city eat 4 slices of bread and 1 boiled egg for breakfast. No, they want a mountain of akpu. If it's rice, a mountain. It has to be mountainous. And so it's a lot on the man, on the boss, who is training them. Sometimes it's not even related to them. It's just a friend that brings 2 boys. You know, sometimes they are relations, you know, whoever they are. And then he's training them, he's feeding them. He's doing everything for them for 10 years. And after 10 years, the boy that came as a teenager, he was 13. Now he's 23. Then he goes to his boss. And the boss will say, it is time to settle you. There would have been an agreement at the beginning. Well, as I'm taking these boys, they are going to be with me for 10 years. After 10 years, I will settle them. And guess what? When it is time for them to go, the boss actually settles them. It's an empowerment scheme that the Nigerian government needs to learn from. It's an empowerment scheme. They would have taught them the skills, the disciplines. A typical Igbo man that has millions, you won't see it on him. He's building a mansion in the village, but in town, he's living in a rented apartment. He's wearing sandals and 1 pair of jeans for 2 weeks and a few shirts. I'm not saying I want to live like that, but I'm saying that we can learn from the discipline that they have. A typical Yoruba man makes $200,000 in the business. He spends it all that same day. He spends everything. No savings, nothing. The Igbo man spends $20,000. He keeps, maybe if he pays tithe, and then he keeps the rest for his business. And then he turns it over into his business. And so the Igbo man does not have one shop. Go and check most of them. They may start from one shop. I tell you, from 1, they move to 2. From 2, they move to 3. You can have one Igbo man that has 5 shops. 5. So when you come to a shop and he doesn't have what you want to buy, he will send one of his boys go to the second shop. He said, Oga, please wait. We want to go to our next shop. They always have a next shop. But the Yoruba man, from 1, he will, if care is not taken, he will finish that one shop. Set him up, 1 million naira, come back in 6 months, the shop is no longer open. It's on the prayer mountain, Monday morning, when customers are coming. Training. Why did I go that route? Because of the word settle. By the time the Igbo master settles his boys, say they are my boys, they become bosses on their own, then they replicate the same style. The same modus operandi. They go to the village and bring people. So before you know it, they say Igbo people are everywhere. That's how they get everywhere. If you get to any country and there's no Igbo man there, run away. Because it means that that land consumes its inhabitants. On the bus in London, you hear them, nah, Afana, are you there? In London, in America, everywhere. I've eaten in the shop of an Igbo man in Maryland, America. Nigerian food. I said, guys, I'm not eating your American food, though. They said, don't worry, pastor. We got a place for you. We got a place for you. And they took me there. It was an Igbo man. A man running a canteen in America. And he has one small boy working with him in the shop. In America. That's how he will train the boy. The boy will learn all the rudiments of the business. He will also come and bring somebody from the village to America. All over Europe, they are there. Asia, they are there. I think there's a model we need to learn. I think so. I think there's an empowerment we need to learn. Not our style of sharing money. And all our own boys are area boys and thugs. Political thugs, that's what they use them for. Go and beat up people. And it's a pyramid. If you have 200 thugs, only one of them becomes successful. All the other thugs, they're just smoking their hemp and wasting their future. Mike Murdock says there are two kinds of pain in life. Number one is the pain of training. Number two is the pain of regret. He says whoever avoids the pain of training will embrace the pain of regret. May you not regret. Regret doesn't come immediately. It comes later. When people are over 50. When energy is gone. When they are over 60. When they can't run around anymore. And I had that opportunity. May that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. May God settle you. But look at the process he took us through. After you have suffered a while. The suffering is for a while. The suffering of the Igbo apprentice is for a while. He might not be able to buy new jeans, a brand new pair of jeans in those 10 years. He will buy one or two okrika. Because he's still a boy learning. He's still learning. He won't wear lumberjack now. No, he won't wear the designers now. A time is coming for him to wear them. Our journey in life can be likened to this many times. Walking by faith, learning the rudiments of faith, praying as if God is not even answering, or God cannot even hear your prayer. And you keep praying, and you keep praying still. You are loading your cloud. When the cloud is full, the rain will fall. So be encouraged. Take up these thoughts. Even though I'm going through my suffering right now, it's for a while. I know that my settlement is coming. It's for a while. These are the things to think about when the devil comes with troubling thoughts. Because the devil does come with troubling thoughts. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For you to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life, your mind must be transformed. It is to the degree that your mind is transformed that you will enjoy, that you will even know and then enjoy the will of God for your life. Up till today, some people have been born again for 25 years. They don't know the will of God for their lives. There are people who are still justifying poverty and lack. Because if you are rich now, you may not make the kingdom of God. You are rich. I don't want to be any money that will take me to hell. Well, I don't know. Is it money that takes you to hell? Or your thinking? Wrong thinking. If money comes into the hands of the right thinking person, don't you think you will use that money to be a blessing? Some people brought free education to Nigeria. I mean, you guys might not know Papa Awolowo, but you've heard of Awolowo. Education. For children in the rural areas who might never have the opportunity of being educated if we don't make it free. Because the parents are so poor that in the villages they are farming. How much do they get from their subsistence agriculture? They don't get value for their money. So let's take free education to their children. If they can put their hands around their head and your hand can touch your ear, they say, okay, now you can start. They didn't even have primary back in those days. I think they had a standard one form, and then they had form one, all of those things. Standard was, I think, the primary education at the time. By the time I started school in 1985, 86, it was primary one. Primary one, primary two, primary three. And so people began to learn how to speak, how to read, how to write. And some of those children have wound up their lives becoming professors. And they've liberated their families, their generations, just because somebody thought, let us take free education to them. How about the white people that brought the gospel? The missionaries that brought the gospel to Africa, they brought education. They opened hospitals, missionary hospitals, to take care of the eyes of people, to take care of their health. They say, as we preach the gospel to them, let's also expose them to medical help. Let's expose them to education. They brought so many things to liberate us, Africa, to open our eyes. Instead of walking about naked, people now started wearing clothes. You can trace that to the thinking of some people. How do you think? Everything starts with a thought. So when we're talking about the renewing of the mind, the renewing of your mind starts when you begin to take up the thoughts of God and make them your own thoughts. To allow them sink here. The Bible, I've said this before, I'll say it again. This book is a compilation of God's thoughts. You want to know what God is thinking? Check the Bible. In Jeremiah 29:11, KJV on the screen, it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. What are the thoughts that God is thinking as God is looking at you? Is he looking at you, thinking about how to judge you? Is it thinking about how to punish you? No. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. What are my thoughts towards you? He said, they are, saith the Lord. Who said that? Who said that? Saith PFE. Saith who? The Lord. So what did the Lord say? Thoughts of shalom. Nothing should take away your peace because God is thinking thoughts of peace towards you. Shalom. The Hebrew word shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. When I look at you, Tolu, what I'm thinking is I want you to have everything that my son died for. When I look at you, Christiana, I want you to have everything that my son died for. Spirit, soul, and body. Complete wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Where did we get our own theology from that sometimes God may allow you to be sick, he will send you sickness so that he can get your attention? Where did we get that from? We got that from somebody who lost connection with God and who happened to be a preacher. When backsliders preach and teach, people who are held in reverence but whose hearts have departed from the Lord, they never give you the whole counsel of God. They will give you a distorted counsel, something that Satan has stained. But because they are big and you don't know that they are backsliding, you don't know that they've lost their fellowship with God, whatever they tell you, you take it whole. You take it hook, line, and sinker. Boat, fisherman, and the river. And you run your life with it. There are many of those thoughts in the body of Christ today that are not godly. They are not whole. They are never the plan of God for the church. But people say, well, it is the plan of God. Somebody dies young and they say, it has pleased the Lord to take away our brother. Where did you get that from? Where did you see that in the Bible? And you see, these are troubling thoughts. God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace. Thoughts of shalom. So if it is not peace, can it be from God? Oh no, one person came to Bible study. If it's not peace, can it be from God? What thoughts did God say I'm thinking towards you? Thoughts of peace. And he added, and not of evil. So if evil comes, can it be from the Lord? Let's balance it. To give you what? An expected end. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace, saith the Lord. So if it comes from me, saith the Lord, it has to be thoughts of peace. No wonder. Let's go to the New Covenant. When Paul the Apostle was writing to the churches, see how he greeted them. Let's take it from 1 Corinthians. Because if it comes from the Lord, it has to be peace. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Grace grace be unto you and peace. From who? From God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's from God, our Father, if it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be grace and peace. Because in this dispensation, Christ has brought grace. What they knew under the old covenant was the law. What we know under the new covenant is grace and truth. Not just grace, oh. Grace and truth. People like grace, but they don't like the truth. And you shall know the truth. And it is the truth you know that will make you free. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 and then verse 2. Verse 2. Grace be to you. That's Paul opening a letter to the Corinthian church. Grace be to you. And what? Come and talk to me, church. And what? Peace. From God our Father, and from whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. So if it's from God the Father, and if it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be what? Grace. And it will be what? Peace. So if a thought is coming to your mind, and it doesn't carry grace, and there is no peace in it, you have every right to reject it, because it cannot be from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? A thought comes to you now, you're going to die today. You're going to die. Actually, you're dying tonight. You are going to die in your sleep. So don't worry about waking up tomorrow. Write a letter. Put a small note down so that when you don't wake up tomorrow morning, when people are crying, they will know why you died. Can that thought be from God our Father? We are not bastards. God our Father. Can it be from God our Father? Can it be from the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it has no grace in it and it has no peace in it. You have every right to reject it. You have every right to cast it down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God. You feel a pain in your chest. That's a lump. That's a lump in your breast. And it's going to become cancerous. In fact, it is cancerous. You're going to have breast cancer. Does that have grace? Does it have peace? Can it be therefore from God our Father? Can it be from the Lord Jesus Christ? You have every right to cast it down. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3. Are you with me, church? Yes. Galatians 1:3. Let's read again. Grace be to you. And what? Peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, the way things are going on in Nigeria right now, it might get to a point that you are not able to feed your mouth anymore, because things are just soaring high every day. The prices of food items, it might get to a point where you are not able to feed yourself. Does that carry grace? Does it carry any element of peace? Somebody might say that to you, even though he's a pastor. You have every right to cast down that thought. Don't take it in. I don't know how I'm going to feed. It is not my business for me to know how. I do my work and I expect God to bless me and God to take care of me. Can I have an amen to that? Because you are soldiers in the Lord's army. There is no soldier in the army of a country who is bothered by what he's going to wear, the boots, the uniform, and the gun, and the bullet. They don't take that from his salary. No, they don't. The government provides him with all the kits he needs because he's a soldier in the Nigerian army or in the U.S. army. The government provides the kits and they pay him salary. No soldier says, well, I don't know, I need money to buy bullets because we are going to fight against a country now and I don't know how many bullets I'm going to need. No. He is fully funded. Is provided for. You are a soldier in the Lord's army. You do go to your duty post. The Lord provides for you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't let troubling thoughts take hold of your mind. Otherwise, you will lose your sleep in the night. You would worry all night. You would stay awake, and you will continue the next day, and there is yet no solution to the situation on ground. It's a waste of time and resources. Let's go from Galatians. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 2. We can even take it from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, what did he say? Verse 2. Read it out loud. Grace be to you. And what? Peace. From whom? From God our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And Paul is saying, grace be to you and peace from God, who already said in Jeremiah 29:11, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. So Paul is just emphasizing what the Lord has said. Don't let anything unsettle you. I know the times we live in right now are quite funny, but I can tell you that God knows that we are here. And in the middle of this, God will supply. Can I have an amen? Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac. Isaac asked him at some point, Dad, behold the wood, behold the fire. But where is the animal for the sacrifice? You said we are going to sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham said to Isaac, don't worry, my son. God will provide himself an animal. God will provide himself a ram, a lamb. And did God provide or not? Walk by faith. Trust God. Will customers come? Yes, they will. Will clients come? Yes, they will. Amen. Will you pay your bills? Yes, you will. Right? God has, oh God, you know how many children God has all over the world? What will it take God to command one of them to be a blessing to you? Just your faith. It is Satan that will come to you and say, look. Time is running out. There's no help. There's no help. Go and look for an alternative. Never you look for an alternative. Because God will provide himself whatever you need. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 2. Philippians 1 and verse 2. Still Paul writing. Paul and Timotheus, this is now from verse 1. The servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Verse 2. Grace be unto you. And what? Peace. From whom? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. So if it's from God and if it's from the Lord Jesus, it will be two things. It will be what? Grace and peace. But when he began to write, we'll look at Colossians, then we'll go to Timothy. When he began to write to Timothy, his son in the ministry, he introduced another dimension to the two. But let's quickly get this done. Colossians 1 and verse 2. Let's take it from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If it's from God our Father and if it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, then it will be grace and then it will be peace. Amen. We go to the Thessalonians. Let me see if we have the same concept there. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So whatever comes to you, if it's not grace and if it's not peace, what are you supposed to do to it? What are you supposed to do to it? Cast it down. Now, when it came to Timothy, his son, in the faith, when he wrote Timothy, Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Look at that description. Paul writing as a father. To my own son. Who is your son? The one you led to Christ. This is the heart of a pastor. Now, he introduced another concept. He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He introduced the concept of mercy. Grace, mercy, and peace. May you obtain mercy. May you obtain mercy. You have already obtained mercy, amen? Or you can still also obtain mercy. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, my dearly beloved son. Like the words the Father used for Jesus Christ to qualify him. Dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. This is like me saying to Temitope, my dearly beloved daughter, and to all of you, so you won't say I'm partial. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. God in your race, the opportunities you don't deserve. I don't deserve to hold the microphone tonight and be a pastor. If you knew me in my past life, I wasn't really bad, but I had the tendencies. I had my plans. I had my ways. I had the way I was thinking. I had the way I wanted to live my life. But somehow, grace cornered me. Grace found me. Grace gave me a microphone. And it will give many of you microphones. Can I have an amen to that? And it will give you your own platforms. Grace. But you know what mercy does? Mercy is what shields you from the punishment that you deserve. Grace gives you the blessing you don't deserve. Mercy shields you from the real punishment that you actually deserve. We were enemies of God. Aliens from the covenant of promise. Some of us, if not for the mercy of God, we would not even be alive today. The way I was living my life, I should not be alive today. If I had continued with my tendencies, I had not started experimenting those things yet, but I had the plans and I didn't care. I didn't care a hoot. You know, some sinners, you scare them with hellfire. Some of them, they are hell walking on two legs. They tell you, what nonsense are you talking about? Like, if I don't receive Jesus, I'll go to hell. What the heck? They said they even love that hell. So you better find a good message to preach. Scaring them with hell is not going to help. Tell them about grace. Tell them about mercy. Tell them about peace, because not many people have peace. Peace is very scarce in this world. That's why Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My own peace I give you, because he is the Prince of Peace. Money cannot give you peace. A lot of our governors, they don't have peace. A lot of our political leaders and politicians, they don't have, they have money, but they don't have peace. Some of them cannot eat like this in peace. They're not sure whether their chef has compromised. I hope, eat out of the food. Somebody has to eat out of the food before they eat it. Is that the way you eat in your house? Do you invite your neighbor? Neighbor, oh yeah, come and eat before I eat. In this economy, neighbor will say, oh, well, let me carry everything, go and eat it. Some of them can't sleep with their two eyes closed because somebody is running after them. You see them in their SUV and you envy them. Ah! Omo, see the SUV. Why would somebody buy an SUV worth almost 1 billion? 1 billion naira. 690 something million naira. Bulletproof. Because they don't have peace. They can't drive around town in peace. Somebody will shoot them. Because somebody believes that you are sitting on our commonwealth. So hell with poor. So it has to be bulletproof. Peace is only found in Christ. You go to government house, whether it's the presidential villa, whether it's governor's, it's the level of security there. Why? Because there's no peace. They don't trust anybody. Even if the government gives you an appointment, the way they will frisk you with their equipment, they will check everything. Because you might be carrying a bomb in your body. We don't want you to come and bomb the president or bomb the governor. The picture of one governor on a train in London. Sat alone. No security. Nobody. Sat alone. And one black man beside him and two white boys. He looked like an ordinary person. Like a nobody. One year, I was in America and a man, I didn't witness this, but someone that witnessed it told me that a man was telling a young man, an elderly man was telling a young man. He pointed at another, three of them Nigerians. So he pointed at another elderly man in Nigerian that was sitting down on the train. He said, look at this man. And the man could hear them. And he was speaking Yoruba to him. He said, look at this man. The boy said, okay, sir, what about him? He said, you don't know him? He said, no, sir, I don't know him. Looked at him, I don't know him, sir. Then the man looked back and smiled. He said, these are big people, very big. The man was happy that somebody was talking good about him. He didn't know where the story was going. He says, a very big man. He said, this man, when he travels, when he goes from his state to the airport in Lagos, security will lock down everywhere. The young man say, those are the people that spoil Nigeria. The man looked, he couldn't talk. He said, I never knew that they could come here to America where we live. Because the elderly man talking lives in America. He said, where we live, I never knew that they would not enter train with all the protocol officers and all the security. Where are the security now? He said, look at him. He queued like the rest of us. He joined the train like the rest of us. He's sitting down in an ordinary chair like the rest of us. He said, look at him. Would you that out? Those are the people. Those are the people that support Nigeria. The man couldn't talk. They don't have peace, so. Peace is only found in Christ. I wrap up tonight with Matthew chapter 6. Jesus made a statement, and I want you to hold on to it very quickly, very dearly. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't take it. It will be offered to you, but don't take it. What are those thoughts? Being bothered about what you're going to eat. And like people confess, they say there is hunger everywhere, but hunger is not in my heart. And I decree that hunger will not be in your house. Because of the widespread hunger in town, people are really worried, not about what they're going to even wear now. Number one is what they're going to eat. It is people who eat that will now think of what they're going to wear. Abi? And then it goes in that order because we can't go naked. We still have to wear something. Jesus said this several years ago before the Nigerian economy became what it is now. Before the dollar became 1,600 or 1,650 or 1,500 to a naira. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, expression house, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is not your life more important than the meat you're going to eat? God, but the meat also is very important. Yes, it is. But your life and the meat, which one is more important? If somebody dies and they bring food, can he eat the food? So your life is more important than the food. Stay alive. If you drink garri tonight, you will still eat chicken tomorrow if you stay alive. Somebody getting what I'm saying tonight? Stay alive. Hey, but sir, we need the chicken to stay. No, you don't need the chicken to stay alive. You need the word of God to stay alive. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan will send thoughts to you, debilitating thoughts, disturbing thoughts, troubling thoughts. Cast them down. Stay alive. Stay alive. You will see a new day. Take no thought. You will present it. Don't take it. Taking is like this. Somebody presents something, then you take it. When the devil presents it, walk away. Don't take it. Take no thought. Don't touch it. Like taking offense, we all take offense. But we can choose to not take it. Somebody can look you in the face and say you are stupid, and you walk away, smiling, knowing that you are not stupid. You can take offense. Take what he has said, rub it back in his face. The choice. How you respond. You don't have a choice how people treat you, but you have a choice how you respond. The next verse. Behold the fowls of the air. And this is where I'm going to stop. I was on this for about 6 months in the year 2020. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Behold the fowls of the air. So I sat by the window, one of the windows in my living room. And because I live upstairs, in a flat upstairs, my apartment is up. I like to live up. I like the upper room. I began to look out the window, and I saw all manner of birds on my estate landing on different houses. And these thoughts I was meditating on. He said, behold the fowls of the air. Behold means look and consider. Look at them and then consider them. For they don't go to farm. They don't farm. They don't sow. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Human beings like to gather. Save, oh, save, oh, save, oh. Save, save, save. Birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. He says, yet. The Lord Jesus said, yet. They don't go hungry. Have you ever seen birds go on protest? If they go on protest, everybody will take cover. If they go on protest with those long beaks and claws, if they sha somebody in the head, blood will flow. You get what I'm saying? If they land on somebody's neck with their claws, they will tear flesh out. Oh. If they ever go on rampage, if they go on a violent protest, you can't go out. Oh. If you get into your car, some of them, they will land on the car and start pitching on the windscreen until they're able to break something. If they can't break the windscreen, they'll break the side glass, which is not as thick as the windscreen. Imagine 200 beds on your, if how will you drive? 200 beds on your car. Let them not even try to break it. Let them just stay on the car. How do you see? They block your view. So the best place to be will be to be inside your house. And even inside your house, you'll be praying. Because they will keep using their beaks to to hit the window, to hit the glass. If they ever go on a day protest, 24-hour protest, who is maintaining this ecosystem? Who is maintaining the balance so that they are taken care of? We are taken care of. Amen? How about the lions? How about the lions in the forest? If the lions go on one day protest and they enter town, huh? You think there are no lions in Nigeria? You better give glory to God that God is taking care of everyone in their own address. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that if your address is the jungle, you stay right in the jungle. You don't come on the street. If one elephant comes to Mokola, there's trouble. One elephant. The way it will be throwing people. It will uproot what you call container. People's shops. Oh, no. You need to watch Nat Geo Wild and have an idea how these things work. If God doesn't maintain them, each in their ecosystem. How about the tigers? How about the leopards? How about the giraffe? We had better learn. Are you with me, church? We had better learn to not worry and to give thanks to God who is maintaining the ecosystem. You think the birds are weak? There are wild birds. There are vultures. You know what vultures feed on? Dead bodies. Cadaver. If they can feed on dead bodies, they can injure living bodies. Until living bodies become dead. And then they have something to feed on. But God has maintained. He said, look at the birds of the air, the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet, somebody is taking care of them. Your Heavenly Father. Now, these were my thoughts as I close tonight. How much, probably, will it cost God on a daily basis to feed all the birds of the air in the whole world? First of all, how many birds do we have in the world? A professor of vet medicine came here visiting a few years ago when I was teaching these thoughts. He came on a Sunday. He was the head of the Faculty of Vet Medicine, UI, Professor Olufemi Adedeji. He came on a different mission, but I asked him that question. And he said, well, Pastor, we don't know the population. Wish there was population census to know the population of birds. And you want to know that they don't have birth control pills. And I wish you knew that they don't have a timetable for feeding. There is nothing like breakfast, lunch, dinner. That has been put together by the white people to regulate how many times you eat. All right? In England, for example, they eat by the clock. It's not whether you are hungry or not. It's by the clock. The typical British people, if it's 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. for breakfast, that's time for breakfast. If it's 2 p.m. for lunch, that's time for lunch. If it's 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. for dinner, that's time for dinner. So they eat by the clock. All right? In Nigeria, see, we eat by availability. By availability of what we have. The birds don't have a timetable. So whether they want to eat 20 times a day is up to them. And you know, as they eat, they poo. As they eat, they poo. So in Yoruba, there's something called alajeshu. Alajeshu. This boy grew up from the village. So he knows, right? Who is paying all these bills? If you want to make, listen, if you want to make the richest billionaire in the world broke, this is one way you can make them go broke in 1 week. I don't care how much money they have, whether it's Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, whoever they are, get them to feed all the birds. And you know there are different species of birds. Only God knows their number. You have different classes, different species. Now, all the birds, with no exception of one, not just in Nigeria, We are talking the whole world, all the continents. Only God knows. If there are 8 billion people, I can assure you that there are probably over 20 billion, if not over 100 billion birds. How do you take care of them? How much do you have that you can feed them? If you can feed them in a day, can your money feed them in a month? If you can feed them in a month, can you feed them in 1 year? And God has been feeding them from time immemorial, from eternity to eternity, and his bank account has not gone red. And that is your heavenly Father. How much do you need for your life? Is your daddy? How much do you need that God cannot supply? Think about this as we close tonight. Stand on your feet, everybody. Father, we honor you and we praise you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for sending your word. And thank you for healing us, healing our minds by your word. Every troubled mind tonight receives the healing touch of King Jesus. As you receive grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever thought is responsible for your agitation and your fear and your anxiety and your worry, I silence them. I take authority over them now in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that the Lord governs your mind and your heart with thoughts of peace and mercy and grace in the name of Jesus. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Have you been blessed tonight? Make sure you get the recording. Go and listen to it again. Go and listen to it again. Something definitely will speak to your heart. We all need it in the days in which we live. And maybe I need to tell you in another class that the moment you get into that peace, like we have done tonight, with the word of God, Satan almost immediately wants to get you back into chaos. He wants to draw you back into that thing that caused your chaos. You have to fight it and say, no, I'm not going back there. I'm going to maintain my peace. I'm going to stay in peace. Sometimes you enjoy peace so much in church. The moment you step outside church, he attacks your mind again. It's Satan. That's what he likes to do. Now you need to tell him, hey, I am the church. Amen. And I maintain my peace. Amen.